All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. It's that time of the week, folks, my key games in the world of college football, and this is basically championship weekend as a lot is still to be decided in the college football playoff. Now, I'm going to get started tomorrow night in a big one in the American Athletic Conference as the Knights of Central Florida travel to take on the East Carolina Pirates. Now, UCF is looking to get at least a share of the American Athletic Conference Championship. Now, you look at UCF quarterback Justin Holman, and you have to wonder which Justin Holman is going to show up. He has 19 touchdown passes this season, but he has also thrown 13 interceptions. This Knights defense has been able to bail him out with 16 interceptions and put him and the rest of the offense in good scoring situations. But on the flip side, this UCF defense will have their hands full with a potent East Carolina offense led by quarterback Shane Carden, who should go over the 4,000 yard mark in passing in this one. He's already thrown 25 touchdown passes this season to just 6 interceptions. Now you look at running back Breon Allen, who is averaging over 6.5 yards per carry, and the dynamic wide receiver duo of Justin Hardy and Cam Worthy will put some pressure on that secondary for the Knights. Now, you look on the defensive side of the football for ECU, and I look at linebacker Zeke Bigger, who has had 120 tackles this season, and he should once again be big in the regular season finale. Thus, I'm going to take East Carolina at home by the score of 34-27. Now, moving along to Friday, you have the Mid-American Conference Championship game at Ford Field in Detroit. You have the Huskies of Northern Illinois taking on Bowling Green. Now, you look at Northern Illinois, and it all starts with their Mr. Do-It-All, and I'm talking about quarterback Drew Hare. He can run, and he can pass, and he's another dual-threat quarterback there at Northern Illinois. Now, his running will set up wide receiver Deron Brown, who is a home run hitter for the Huskies, as he should go over the 1,000-yard mark in receiving in this contest. I talked about that Northern Illinois running game, and they nearly have 3,000 yards on the ground, so they will keep Bowling Green on their toes and honest in this one. Now, Bowling Green's offense starts and ends with wide receiver Roger Lewis. He is their home run hitter, and he has the look to put some pressure on this secondary of Northern Illinois. In the end, Northern Illinois is simply the better team. They are the class of the MAC. Every time you turn around, they are playing in the MAC title game. They lost this title game last season, and I don't see Northern Illinois losing it 2 years in a row. Thus, I'm taking the Huskies by the score of 41-24. Now, the Pac-12 title game will take place this Friday as the 7th-ranked Arizona Wildcats take on the 2nd-ranked Oregon Ducks. First time that the Pac-12 is going to a neutral site game. It will take place at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Now, Arizona has already defeated Oregon this year. You go back and they went to Eugene at Outson Stadium and they shocked the world by knocking off the previously undefeated Ducks. Now, how was Arizona able to do it? You look at quarterback Anu Solomon, and a lot of people think of him more as a runner, but this guy can pass as he's thrown for over 3,400 yards this season to go along with 27 touchdown passes. But when you look at Arizona's running game, you look at running back Nick Wilson, who has over 1,200 yards on the ground to go along with 15 rushing touchdowns. And of course, their home run hitter in the passing game is wide receiver Caleb Jones. Now, it's not just about the offense for the Wildcats under head coach Rich Rodriguez. You look at linebacker Scooby Wright and the season that he is having, 140 tackles and 14 sacks. More than likely, he's going to be the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And if it wasn't for the stellar season that Marcus Mariota is having at Oregon, you're probably talking about Wright as a Pac-12 Player of the Year. Now, defensively as a whole, Arizona has 37 team sacks, and they will look to put some pressure on this high-powered Oregon offense. Now, I talked about Mariota, 36 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. And this is a guy that should be a lock to be an early first round pick in next spring's NFL draft. You look at running back Royce Freeman, who has nearly 1,200 yards on the ground, and wide receiver Byron Marshall, who is the big-time go-to wide receiver in this Oregon offense. This game is being played outdoors and is being played on the grass, and I know a lot of people tend to think, myself included, that it is very tough for one team to defeat another team 2 times in the same year. But I think Arizona gets it done because nobody's going to expect them to do it once more. And I'm taking the Wildcats to win the Pac-12 title 37-30. Now, looking ahead to Saturday, you have the Conference USA Championship game, and you have Louisiana Tech taking on Marshall. Now, you look at La Tech and their quarterback, Cody Sokol, who has already passed for over 3,000 yards this season, and he has 29 touchdown passes. And he probably looked at that tape from last week's game and saw what Western Kentucky's offense was able to do to this Marshall defense. He's probably licking his chops. Same thing can be said for running back Kenneth Dixon for Louisiana Tech, who has 18 touchdown passes, and wide receiver Trent Taylor. Now, this Louisiana Tech defense does have 30 team sacks, and they also have forced 24 interceptions, so they will look to put some pressure on Marshall quarterback Rakeem Cato. But aside from Cato, for Marshall, you look at running back Devon Johnson, who has over 1,600 yards on the ground this season, and he is so speedy and so elusive that he is averaging over 8.5 yards per carry. Now, if wide receiver Tommy Shuler can get it going for Marshall, they themselves will put some pressure on Louisiana Tech. Marshall's defense does have 33 team sacks, so they will look to put this Louisiana Tech offense in a lot of third and long situations. Should be a dandy, but I think Marshall pulls away in the fourth quarter, and they win this one by the score of 38-24. Now, another one in the American Athletic Conference has the Houston Cougars traveling to take on the Bearcats of Cincinnati. Now, it's been a workmanlike approach all season long for Houston. You look at their defense, led by linebacker Ephraim Oliphant, who has 115 tackles this season, and this Cougars defense has forced 19 interceptions. But Cincinnati quarterback Gunnar Keel just continues to get better and better each week. Now, you look at this Cincinnati defense, and they have 30 team sacks, and they are led by linebacker Jeff Luke, who has 113 tackles this season to go along with 6.5 sacks. Cincinnati is simply the better team, and I'm going to take the Bearcats at home in this one by the score of 31-20. Now, moving on to Saturday evening, the big one. You have the Southeastern Conference Championship game at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, and it will feature the number one ranked team in the country. And I'm talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide taking on the 16th ranked Tigers of Missouri. Now, for Alabama, you look at quarterback Blake Sims, and he has to shrug off some of the mistakes that he made last week against Auburn. He threw some bad interceptions, but the bottom line is the Tide were able to rally and get the victory. Running back T.J. Yeldon will need to have a big game, and Amari Cooper right now, wide receiver, is one of the best wideouts in the country, and he has to put some pressure on this Missouri secondary. Now, on the flip side for Mizzou, Matty Mock. This guy, you know, he came in last year midway through the season for an injured James Franklin and really rose to the occasion and really helped Missouri get to the SEC title game last season. Russell Hansbrough will put some pressure on this Alabama defense at running back. And if Alabama concentrates too much on Missouri's running game, Bud Sasser at wide receiver can go over the top. This Mizzou defense does have 38 team sacks. They've only lost one conference game, and I know people aren't going to give them the respect that they deserve due to the fact that the SEC East is nowhere near as tough as the SEC West. Missouri will give Alabama all that they can handle, but the Tide are the better team, and I look for Alabama to squeak this one out by the score of 31-27. Now, a de facto Big 12 title game will take place this Saturday night, as the 9th-ranked Kansas State Wildcats take on the 6th-ranked Baylor Bears. Both of these teams are 7-1, just like TCU, and everybody is expecting TCU to take care of business against Iowa State on Saturday. Now, TCU defeated Kansas State while they lost to Baylor, so there's going to be a lot on the line in this one right here. Starting with Kansas State, it starts with their quarterback, Jake Waters, as he is their Mr. Do-It-All. And, of course, Tyler Lockett at wide receiver will need to have a big game against this Baylor defense. Defensively for the Wildcats, you look at Jonathan Trautman, who has 101 tackles, and he and his fellow cohorts on that side of the football will have their hands full of one of the best offenses in the nation. Now, you look at quarterback Bryce Petty for Baylor. He did suffer that concussion last Saturday against Texas Tech, and I expect him to play, but just in case that he cannot, Art Briles, the Baylor head coach, will look to backup quarterback Seth Russell. But if Russell does have to play, he won't have to do it by himself. You look at Shaq Linwood at running back. He is one of the speediest runners in the nation, and Corey Coleman is one of the best wide receivers on this Baylor team, and he will emerge from a dynamic group of wide receivers that Baylor has. Now, if Seth Russell does play quarterback in place of Bryce Petty, this K-State defense that has forced 14 interceptions this season will look to put some pressure on him. But this Baylor defense doesn't get the credit that they deserve. Yes, they slipped up coming down the end last week against Texas Tech, but they do have 32 team sacks on the season, and they will look to put Kansas State in a lot of third and long situations. Regardless who the quarterback is, I think Baylor has enough to get the job done, and I'm going to take them at home by the score of 38-30. Now, in the Atlantic Coast Conference title game this Saturday night, you have the undefeated and fourth-ranked Seminoles of Florida State, who will take on the 11th-ranked Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Now, Florida State's success starts and ends with their quarterback, Jameis Winston. He has not been the unflappable Jameis Winston that we saw last season, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, Florida State is simply taking everybody's best punch this year due to the fact that they are the defending national champions. Also, all of these teams have a year's worth of game film on Winston, and they are looking to force him into making some mistakes, which he has been doing. But Winston has been able to bail out Florida State, and as a team, they have all risen to the occasion, especially in the fourth quarter. Now, you look at wide receiver Rashad Greene, who has 86 receptions for nearly 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he will look to have a big day for the Noles in this one in Charlotte. Now, on the flip side for Georgia Tech, it's all about that triple option attack led by quarterback Justin Thomas. Now, Georgia Tech has accounted for over 4,000 yards on the ground this season, and it will be imperative for this Florida State defense to be honest, to remain patient, and stay in their lanes as far as their assignments go against this option attack. No DeAndre Smelter at wide receiver in this one for Georgia Tech, as he is out with an injury, and that's going to be big because the Yellow Jackets don't pass it that often, but when they do, they tend to catch some teams napping. Now, this Georgia Tech defense has forced 17 interceptions this season, and you look at Winston, who has been forcing the ball at times this year, so the turnover battle will be big in this one. It's going to be a tight one, but I think Florida State gets by the Yellow Jackets by the score of 41-34. Now, you have the Big Ten title game this Saturday night in Indianapolis as the 13th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers take on the 5th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, for Wisconsin, it starts and ends with their dynamic running back in Mr. Melvin Gordon, who has over 2,200 yards this season with 26 rushing touchdowns. And if Wisconsin is going to win this game, they are going to need another heavy dose of Gordon. Defensively, Wisconsin has 35 team sacks, and they have to be licking their chops due to the fact that JT Barrett will not play for Ohio State in this one. He had the injury this past Saturday against Michigan, so in will step Cardale Jones at quarterback. Now, Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer will rely heavily on running back Ezekiel Elliott in this game to pick up the slack for Cardale Jones, and he will also rely on his defense that has forced 37 team sacks and they have 18 interceptions. So it will be important to see which team wins first and second down. Will it be Wisconsin's offense or will it be Ohio State's defense? Because Ohio State needs to put Wisconsin in third and long and have quarterback Joel Stave beat them as opposed to Gordon. Wisconsin is favored in this game after the Barrett injury, and I'm going to take the Badgers in this one by the score of 34-30. And finally, on Saturday night, you have the Mountain West Championship game. You have the Fresno State Bulldogs traveling to take on the 22nd-ranked Broncos of Boise State. And you look at Fresno quarterback Brian Burrell. He's been up and down this season. He has 21 touchdown passes to 13 interceptions. But you look at running back Martez Waller, who has over 1,200 yards on the ground, as well as wide receiver Josh Harper, who should go over the 1,000-yard mark in receiving in this one. But you look at Boise, led by quarterback Grant Hedrick, who has over 3,200 yards passing this season. And, of course, the physical runner Jay Ajayi, who has over 1,600 yards on the ground with 24 touchdowns. And he has been a workhorse for the Broncos, as he has over 300 carries on the year. Boise has 35 team sacks, and they've also forced 17 interceptions, led by defensive back Darian Thompson, who has 7 of his own. Thus, I'm going to take Boise in this one by the score of 44-27. Those are my key games, folks, for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football. And I want to once again thank you for tuning in to the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Now, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300poundsofsportsknowledge this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, as I will be recapping all of the day's action from week number 14 in the National Football League. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And if you are on Facebook, you can check out the page and like it at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. Once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.